It is Sunday, November 20th, 2016, and you're listening to episode 47 of the AIH Superfans Podcast. I am one of your superfan pals. My name is Alan. On Twitter, you can find me at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip.
I'm Brian. You can find me on my Twitter at Brian from AIH.
And we brought on a guest today. Yes, guest, go for it.
I'm Chris, and you can follow me on at Twitter in my Hanger Hockey Twitter account at @Hanger_hockey.
So @Hanger_hockey, we've seen you kind of floating around Twitter over the last little while. Can you tell us, Chris, both about, I guess, how you became a Jets fan, though you live in Winnipeg, so it's probably by default, and also about what this Hanger Hockey is all about?
Sure. So I became a Jets fan because I migrated in Canada about 5 years ago. Then it was the same time around the rumors about the Jets started like floating around about their return. Then I kind of just got interested in it. And then when I started watching hockey, I just like fell for it and it was like the best sport ever. And then, yeah, it's amazing. And then Hanger Hockey is basically just a hobby between me and my other friend. We're both designers. And then there was this like random idea between the two of us. And we were like, oh, we both like hockey. What if we make like a blog that's about all of our thoughts about the Jets? But then we're too busy from work and we could not finish the site. So now I'm just using the Twitter account.
So if you ever become a full-fledged blog, you'll become the competition for Arctic Ice Hockey?
No.
And we'll have to have a Twitter war.
No.
So Rodell couldn't make it today. He had something come up this morning, so hopefully he listens. And let's get into the goodness for Winnipeg Jets stuff. And I just realized I used the term goodness after last night's game. Which,
yeah, it's probably not good.
Doesn't make any sense. Let's just start with last night. So, Jets lose 4-1 to Boston. And I think to make matters worse, what did they muster up? 12 shots?
Yeah.
12 shots in the game. And Maurice came out after and said, we weren't prepared. Where do we start with this one?
I don't know where we could start. It's just bad from all around. There were only 5 shots at 5v5 last night. On top.
Yeah, I think they would have done better if they had a practice the day before, but I don't know. Cuz they seemed really uncoordinated yesterday.
How does a team though, like if you're a professional hockey team and you're playing together for most of the season, like, how do you only manage 12 shots? Like, I'm not prepared. Like, you played hockey 2 days ago.
Yeah, that was probably the worst excuse I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And that was Maurice taking the heat on himself, right? Like, he said it was on him?
Yeah. He said that was all on him. And I believe he said the practice was why, or the lack thereof.
I guess so. I don't know. Like, I don't really buy it still. Like, you missed one practice, so you can't play hockey anymore?
Yeah, that... You're professionals. You should be able to at least put up a better effort than that without a practice.
Yeah.
All right. So, they lose that game 4-1. I guess 2 days before that, and this would have been on Thursday, there was a 5-2 loss to Philadelphia. That game where I believe the Jets outshot the Flyers, but it came down to bad goaltending, right?
I was at work, so I missed that one.
Chris, did you see it?
Yeah, I missed that one, too.
Everyone missed that game. It was, I mean, from all accounts, Hellebuck didn't have a good game. He, I think he pretty much said as much afterwards and didn't really want to discuss it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had that, and then we had the game before that. That was last Tuesday, where everything was right with Jets land. God, there was so much excitement on Twitter. It was almost obnoxious.
The parade route was already planned.
like a 4-0 win over Chicago. You know, a pretty decisive win, I guess, over a top team. And we've seen this before. This happened, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but that, you know, there was a year where they were beating Chicago left, right, and center, and everybody was like, see, the Jets are elite. And it's like, give me a break, guys.
I think that was the year they made the playoffs.
I remember saying on the day of that game, it's like, I'm very happy about the win. It's exciting. But we've seen this before. Maybe we should cool our jets a little bit until we have a little bit bigger sample size of consistent winning from this team.
Yep, I agree. It should be like longer in the season before we start deciding if it's actually good or not, because it's hard to tell right now. The season just started. Then everyone's like, plan the parade.
Well, and we have this grouping of teams, right, that are in the standings at this point. If you look at the overall NHL standings, you know, there's one or two teams that are really on fire, and there's only about one or two teams that are really crappy, but there's a lot of still bunching in the middle right now. And in fact, the Jets, they're at 9-9-2. They have 20 points. But they've given up enough games in hand to teams that are behind them that if every team behind them in the Central wins out, the Jets will be last. So, and I'm not saying that to point out that the Jets are a bad team. It's just pointing out there's still too much grouping right now, and you can't really get a sense for how the teams are falling out this year.
Yeah, it's November. It's still way too early to really know. I mean, I guess because American Thanksgiving is this Thursday, and that's usually the point where we start to see who's real and who isn't.
So when you talk about who's real and who isn't, I kind of want to get a sense from both of you. What do you think, which Jets team do you think it is that we're going to see for the rest of the year? Are we going to see the team that up to and including the Chicago game, or is it the team that we've seen the last two games, or do you think we just see something in the middle where we flop back and forth?
It's going to be both. It's a young team. There's going to be growing pains, and I expect a lot more of what we've seen the last week, where it's been a lot of high highs and a lot of low lows.
Chris?
Yeah, I agree with Brian. It's going to be right in the middle because it's a new team. They're learning. There's a bunch of new guys. They're going to make mistakes. But then at the same time, there are some of the guys that have much more experience. I think they would just be right in the middle. They're going to win sometimes, but also they're going to lose.
So it's pretty much what we've been seeing for the last 5 years. You know, another...
Yeah.
Yeah,
a team just that's
more encouraging because it's young guys instead of, you know, GST.
So yeah, the hope is that we are gonna have another one of those seasons, but it's gonna be headed in the right direction. I mean, certainly when they're not playing like total garbage, the team is a lot more exciting to watch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, give Chevy a little bit of credit for that, I guess.
But I think everyone overrates it too much.
What do you mean, like wins or what?
Yeah, like wins. Whenever we win, everyone is like, oh, plan the parade, we're going to be undefeated, stuff like that, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I saw people, I think it was Jets Nation, put out a poll, and it was, you know, how are the Jets going to do on this 5-game road trip? And I think the prevailing thought was like 4-1. Like people just got way too excited, and it's like, well, you're all wrong already.
Like Chicago is good, but beating them 4-0 doesn't automatically dictate that everything's magically fixed.
It's one hockey game. It's one hockey game. Yeah,
I mean, I watched it. I was really excited by it, but
it's
not time yet.
I just think people have short memories.
Yeah.
Like, this team doesn't have to prove that they are a middling team or a losing team to me, because that's been the history. I need a lot more evidence that this is going to be a consistent winning team. My evidence throughout the course of this franchise and the previous franchise is that they're not. That they, at best, hover around 500 or just above, but ultimately they are not a perennial winner. So, you know, one or two games, please, like, stop it. And what was that game against Chicago? Was that the third win in a row?
I think so.
So yeah. at least they did that. Last year they didn't do that until the last four games of the year, right?
And in that streak was also when they absolutely murdered Dallas.
That's right.
So I think it was more of a culmination of the last couple wins. And in recent memory, there not being a sizable win streak.
But we need to start seeing this team, like, in 10-game stretches go, you know, 7-3. I don't know about 8-2, but, you know, 7-3 at least. Maybe, like, 6-4 will get you if you're consistent. But you can't be doing 5-5 and 4-6 and all that kind of business. It's not going to – and, you know, if you're, like, right now 9-9-2, it's not going to cut it. You know, you see that teams that are getting into the playoffs, they're – 90, 91, 92 points, kind of on the bottom end. Now, again, 9-9-2 at this point in the year with all the injuries, with the Trouba situation, certainly they're not in bad shape, but you're going to need to see always consistent winning from this team just to contend for the playoffs.
Yeah, and just to support what you were saying earlier, all the teams are super close on the standings right now. Over time, you're going to see teams improve and they're going to get better. And if you keep on having the same record, then you're going to end up not making the playoffs, which is bad again for this team. But I guess Chevy has the excuse that we're too young this year again, which I don't know. I want to see what your thoughts are.
Well, he already has the free pass on the season, right? Like, they came into this saying we're going to get younger, and that's what the media and, I guess, his bosses and what the fans have already signed off on. So Chevy's safe this year again.
Yeah.
I won't be that upset with a middling to not good season as long as there's signs of there's actually going to be growth. Like, I'll take a mediocre or bad season this year as long as I'm seeing that there's proof that it's obviously going to turn around in the years to come.
Well, there's like, things to look forward to, right? Like, other seasons when the Jets have just missed the playoffs and you look at the next season and you think, what are the things that I have to look forward to next year that are going to show me that this team is going to be better? You know, you've got... Already, you start off at the top. You've got three of the top scorers in the league between Ehlers, Scheifele, and Lainey. With Scheifele being the oldest at 23. So, you've got that going for you for, what, at least another 7 or 8 years? Assuming that none of them demand to be traded and hold out.
Yeah.
So, that's a good starting point. You have question marks on defense, but your supporting cast at forward is pretty good as well. I mean, forward on this team seems to be relatively solid for, you know, let's just say at least another 4 or 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so at this point, Chevy, really, I mean, surprise, surprise, defense and goaltending.
Same old story.
Yeah. I'm excited to see Roslovich. I feel like he's going to replace Brian Little in the next few years. Because when Chevy drafted him, everyone was like, who's this guy? And then now he's tearing it up in the AHL.
Well, they've got to decide, you know, Arby likes to talk about the kind of the generational gap on the Jets, right? So you've got guys like Wheeler, Bufflin, Enstrom, Little, who are... you know, at or 30 or just a little above, just a little below. And then you've got what looks to be the new core of this team who are all 25 and younger. And you got to start thinking in the next couple of years what's going to happen at that top end. And I think we're going to get into it somewhat shortly because we have to talk about injuries. But Roslovic is certainly one who's seems to be playing well on the moose and plays center, and who knows with Little, when he's not hurt, he's going to be a UFA the year after next. So, yeah.
What do you guys think? Are we going to resign Wheeler, or... because his contract expires soon.
I think Wheeler's a couple of years. I'm going to...
I think he has another two, I want to say.
I'm going to...
after this?
I will go to Cap Friendly and tell you.
All right. All right, I was going to do it, but all right. I think Wheeler has 2 years, but if it's one, if it's three, I think he gets signed for at least another three after that. Whether or not he's traded during that contract is debatable.
Yeah.
But I think management wants to keep him around unless somebody from the bottom is pushing him out.
Yeah.
Wheeler's got 2 years after this one, so there's still a lot of time. Yeah, with Wheeler, Brian Little becomes a UFA after next season, so they'll have to deal with that next season. Enstrom is the same. He's a UFA after next season. After this season, there actually isn't a heck of a lot to worry about, which is nice, at least with the UFAs. Drew Stafford is on his last year. Chris Thorburn on his last year. Paul Postma on his last year, and Andre Pavlik, obviously, on his last year. All UFAs after this season.
So all must signs for next season.
Yes. Maybe Postma.
It's like, yeah, get on it, Chevy.
It depends if they want defensive depth. If they don't, they can let Postma go, but...
yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty locked in otherwise. Like, they're locked in on defense. They're top four. Top four are all locked in until the season after next, so they're doing okay there. At four, they have a few RFA signings that you have to worry about, but, you know, I don't think anything terribly significant at this point. A couple of guys.
And just Tanev and Lapon, I think. They have Kopp.
They have Kopp, they have maybe. Dano, they have Burmistrov. Maybe. Hellebuck? Yeah,
Hellebuck's this year?
Yeah, he needs a contract after this year as well.
Mm.
So there's a little bit to worry about, but you know, no one that can walk away that you're really all that concerned with, right?
Not really. I'd like to keep Kopp on the fourth line down the middle, but he's somebody that could be replaced rather easily.
So I guess we'll talk a little bit about... We got a couple of Ask the Superfans questions about this, so let's talk about first for this season. We've got a number of players on the shelf. Let's really focus on forwards. Right now we have Brian Little, Drew Stafford, Matthew Perreault, Sean Mathias, Joel Armia, Kyle Connor, all out with injury. And as a result, there have been opportunities given to play for, Nick Patan, Andrew Kopp, Quinton Howden. Has DeLeo played yet?
No.
Okay, so DeLeo hasn't played yet. So when these guys that are out get healthy, do you think that it's as simple as, you know, Patan, Howden, Kopp just go back to the Moose?
No. It shouldn't be.
Yeah, I don't think so. But Maurice was saying that he's not going to be shy of sending people down recently.
Well, when Perreault comes back, he's going to be guaranteed a spot, obviously. I mean, he's got 4 years after this one, so he's not going anywhere. Brian Little, I don't think you deny him a spot.
Nope.
You know, and I mean, they're not going to... Do you think they're not going to sit Stafford?
Pomo likes his veterans.
But I'm holding out hope that he's sent to Vancouver.
For Brock Boeser or Yolevi?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Really anything.
I mean, at this point, is it a matter of when Stafford is healthy again? Do they just... Do they try to trade him as a rental and try to get anything for him?
They should. just because the forward depth that we could put there instead of Stafford would be much more beneficial.
Yep.
Stafford's just kind of a square peg in a round hole at this point. He's not bad, but he's not what this team needs.
Now, that's what you both are saying, but do you think that this team actually believes that?
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
Yeah, no. Like I said, Pomo likes his veterans.
So if Stafford is going to stay, then what are they actually going to do at that point? Now we go back to the original question. Do you think they just send down Patan? Or, well, Howden will probably go down first, but then...
Yeah, Howden, Burmistroff, DeLeo will probably be three that go down.
So, I think Bormi might end up getting waived. Because remember what they did to Pavelec before? They tried to find like trade partners. No one was taking him, so they ended up waving him down. I think that's what happens to Burmistrov. If either of Dano or Patan keeps playing better.
So let's say, you know, Little comes back and he's healthy, and Perot. So Burmistrov may be the one who's out here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's, I think so. Burmistrov, Howden. Thorburn might just end up getting press box. But that's what I think what happens.
Yeah, there's no way Thorburn gets sent down.
Yeah.
But Burmistrov, I mean, he hasn't played well at all this year.
No.
The failed return.
And I was one of his biggest supporters. As he was coming back.
Same.
And it hasn't worked out well.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Everybody pretty much associated with Arctic Ice Hockey was on the Burmistrov bandwagon. I mean, Phil, our managing editor, became a Jets fan because of Burmistrov. I will say this. I will put it out there. I was never a big Burmistrov fan, and it's I'm on the record for that on Twitter. So,
ooh,
I'm
not, Captain Hindsight,
yeah, with the hot takes.
You go through my thousands of tweets, and you'll see. I never kind of poo-pooed the guy, but I never thought that he was all that great.
I thought third line, but I thought he was going to be a really good third line. So,
I think he was like super rushed by Atlanta, and then. Just went downhill from there.
Yep.
And just, by the way, just so that I'm not the guy that says in hindsight I'm right about everything, you know, I'm also the guy that made a bet that Evander Kane would score 30 goals last year and lost $100, so...
Yeah.
So, trust me, I get lots wrong. All right, so, God, there's a lot of forwards on this team. I guess there's really no hope that at this point you're going to be able to package up any of these forwards and actually get some more defensive help, is there?
Stafford is probably the best chance.
Yeah.
But what do you think somebody actually gives up? Like, again, you know, it was Larson. Like, Taylor Hall got you Larson, right?
Yeah.
So what's Drew Stafford going to get you?
Left-handed defensemen are more common, and that's what the Jets need. They might be able to get somebody better that's left-handed.
But the only place that Stafford is going to go is a team that's making a playoff run that looks at him and says, well, he's a 20-goal scorer, so he can fit into our forwards, right? Like, he's not going to a team with a lot, you know, like a similar composition to the Jets, right? You think?
I mean, Benning did say they wanted a 20-goal scorer.
Jesus. Yeah, if there's a guy that you can bamboozle into a trade, right?
Yeah. Chevy has a pretty good record with trades, and Benning is Benning.
Well, Benning's one of the few people where, you know, I put heavy money on Chevy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
In that
I
trade.
I do too.
He's going to piece him out.
Let's talk about goaltending for a second. Is there, at this point, we can all admit the goaltending so far hasn't been good enough, right?
Not at all.
Nope.
That being said, for all you Pavlik lovers that still might be out there, Pavlik is not the answer, correct?
No, what's his save percentage in the A? Isn't it 8-something?
It was below 9, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm going to look that up.
I have 899. Right now, that's on Cap Friendly in 6 games. So he's not even the starter, right?
No. No, they're giving all that time to Comrie.
And he let in another goal from beyond the blue line, so that was good.
Yeah. Didn't he go on a tear after that last time, though?
Yes, he did. Yes,
he's back.
That's all he needs.
That's all he needs.
To let in a hideous goal. Just looking at save percentages, Hutchinson is under 900 after yesterday's game. I think he's at 896. Hellebuck is at 910, which is better than Pavlik, not good enough. Like, I think these days, you know, to be a solid goalie, you need to be 920, right?
Yeah, give or take.
And again, I mean, there are other factors that kind of surround that. Like, you know, 910 and above can be good enough, but, you know, certainly not.
If you're putting up 6 goals a game.
Yeah. So, Andre Pavlik is not the answer. He never was. He is getting paid, you know, $3 million this year and taking up, well, he's not taking up any salary cap room, but he would take up $4 million of salary cap room to give you, at best, at his ceiling, what you're getting from Hellebuck right now.
Yes. And yeah. Hellebuck has a lot more room to grow. And we've seen him do pretty good things in the past.
So yep. Calm down with the Andre Pavlik love.
Yeah.
Anybody that's out there. Now, again,
if you're going to give any goalie on the Moose some love, it has to be Comrie. Or hell, what about Jamie Phillips tearing the ECHL?
Yeah. He's doing well down there.
So, I mean, as I guess the best way to sum up the goaltending is, it works both ways. Just because Hellebuck and Hutchinson haven't been great doesn't mean that Pavlik is the answer. But also, just because Pavlik isn't the starting goaltender for the Jets means that their goaltending has been solved. You know, there could still, right now, goaltending isn't great. And it's still early, just like in any other position. And if it's not great down the road, then it's going to be another thing that Chevy's going to have to solve, right?
Yeah. You know what's my one irk about goaltending? Our goaltending has been mediocre, and then no one has blamed Wade Flaherty for it. I think he's not doing well as our goaltending coach. And it's he doesn't finally, get
it. He's finally starting to get some. At least from the fans, I've noticed people are finally starting to talk about him. But after Pavlik, who had some promise when the team first got here, to get ruined, and then another with Hutchinson, who started off pretty well, and then the more time he spent, the worse he got.
Yeah.
And then
that's my worry about Hellebuck.
Yep, because I've started to see it. His positioning has been different, and it's not working.
Flaherty was a hangover from the original coaching staff, too, right? Like, when Maurice took over, he pretty much kept most of those folks intact, did he not?
I didn't think he was with Thrashers.
Oh, I mean, the Claude Noel Jets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's been here since day one.
They like their loyalty.
Yeah.
I guess so. How has Jacob Trouba looked so far?
Very, very good.
Amazing. Definitely good. One of our best defensemen right now.
Yep.
Tell us how you really feel, guys. So he's played, what, 5 games so far? He has 1 penalty, no points. At this point, I'm just going to pull up other stats, but,
Ooh, he's a -2.
Oh, well, there we go. You know what? Garbage.
Trade him.
Well, you know what? They still might trade him.
Yeah, Mark Stewart's a plus one. So,
oh, geez.
I mean, that's a pretty good indicator right there.
So what are you each seeing from Trouba that you're really liking so far? Let's go Brian first.
Just all around. He hasn't really missed a step. Like, you would think after missing the first month of a season that you'd have a pretty slow start, but especially in his first game, he just jumped right back in and didn't look out of place whatsoever. And that's really what you want from a defenseman. You don't want them to stand out too much unless they're doing something absolutely excellent.
Chris, what are you seeing?
Basically what Brian said, but I wanted to add a little bit on it. Like the first game he returned, he played lights out. Then, from what I've been seeing, he's been moving the puck, really good. Then the first few games, he's made a lot of plays that led to like a lot of good scoring chances. And I'm really liking his, play so far. And I hope it, stays like that for the rest of the year. Well, and dude, I hope he's still a Jet.
Dude's got something to prove. He's certainly getting the ice time. He's playing 24 minutes on average a game for his first five games back. And again, that's after, you know, being off for almost a month. So he is second in ice time, only behind Byfuglien, whose average time has come down to 28 minutes, which is another added benefit. I don't know what he's been over the last, like, you know, five games since Trouba's been back, but he's not doing 30 a game anymore, which is nice to see, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't be relying on Byfuglien for 30 minutes.
So
in the last game, Buff played really bad. The game yesterday, I think, or the game before that against the Flyers.
Everybody played bad yesterday, though.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, 12 shots, right? If you got a shot, you did well.
Yeah. I mean, people have been talking about Buff going back to forward again, so.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
No.
Who's saying that? Where can I find that?
You type in facebook.com.
Oh, no, no. Like, seriously.
Yeah. No, I've seen people actually calling for Buff to go back to forward.
Great. Facebook.com is like the comment section of Winnipeg. It's like the part you never want to read. Anything else about the, you know, we want to talk a little bit about, I think Olympics and do some Ask the Superfans, but anything else about, players on this team right now and kind of where they stand after 20 games. Anything, you know, we've got the obvious ones, you know, Scheifele, Laine, Ehlers, I'm sure we're all in love with. Anyone else that's really standing out as you think playing exceptionally well? And is there anyone, let's say, besides Bermistroff, who you think still needs to step it up?
I love Patan. If Patan goes down, we're going to have to riot. Patan has been very good on that second line.
I'm hearing a lot of love for Morrissey.
Yeah.
That Morrissey's
been the first 10 games, he was probably the best defenseman the team was running with.
But he's fitting right in. He's putting in 18 minutes a game. And more importantly, he's keeping Stewart in the press box.
Yeah.
Yep.
Team MVP just for that.
Yes, of course, of course. Anyone else?
Lowry's improved. Still shouldn't be on the power play, but he's doing better than last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's early, but he's on pace for 20 goals.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking through the roster right now.
I like Dano's play, but I think he should not be on the top line. Because for some reason, he's playing with Laine and Scheifele the past few games.
When everybody's healthy, I'd like to see Dano on the third line.
Yeah.
Because he has enough of that sandpaper where he wouldn't look out of place. but he's still a top six talent.
Yep.
All right. I'm looking over this and I'm not seeing many, many people who are overly disappointing. I'd say Burmistrov is probably number one. The goaltending hasn't been good so far. Everything else, it's kind of what you'd expect, right? Like Thorburn and Stewart when he gets to play. Like, that's all par for the course, right?
Yeah, and even Thorburn hasn't been glaringly bad.
No, he's just been there, right?
Yeah, I mean...
putting in his 8 minutes a game.
Yeah, there aren't too many players on this team this year that have been glaringly bad. Just the worst have just been there.
So
except for Burmistrov, he's been.
So we'll see
for what you expect out of him, he's been bad.
So we'll see what happens with this roster as the veterans start to get healthy. What, you know, very interesting decisions that are going to have to be made about who gets moved around, and I'm sure we're going to see a lot of reaction on Twitter as well as from us, and we will talk about it as we move forward. Chris, you'd mentioned something about Olympic participation coming up in the 2018 Olympics. I'm going to type in a search, but if you can talk about it for a second.
Yep. So apparently the NHL made an offer to the NHLPA, and they said they would be interested in participating in the Olympics. But that's if they extend the CBA. And what they were saying on the news is that the owners did not know about this offer, and that the NHL just made this offer without asking opinions from the owners. So that's going to be interesting how it plays out. But they were saying this is just the start of the negotiation process, so things might still change over the course of time. But they started putting the offer out and telling the players about it.
I'm reading here. This is an article from CBC Sports, and it was published on the 16th. Tim Warnsby is the writer. He says, the NHL's proposal to the players of a 3-year extension to the collective bargaining agreement in exchange for their participation in the 2018 Olympics will not be taken seriously. It was more of a publicity stunt from NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. I think the idea here is, so apparently the league or the players can opt out of the current CBA in 2020. And so... you know, we're already getting, I mean, we're not that far away from it, right? So I guess, I mean, ultimately, who is it that wants to go to the Olympics? Like, it's
Ovechkin.
The players more so want to go to the Olympics, right? It's the league that's not for them going.
Yeah.
And again, the idea is they don't want to put a pause in the season, and they don't want guys going over and getting hurt and, you know, et cetera, right? They want them focused on the NHL, the place where all the money is made. Is that correct?
Yep. The owners don't want to pay for injuries, too. Because apparently they would be paying the players if they get hurt, the Olympics. And that's what they don't want.
I mean, I don't also get a, you know, I haven't I mean, I know what the CBA has in terms of rules, but I haven't gotten much of a sense for where the discontent lies with the CBA on behalf of either the owners or the players, other than the standard each side is going to want more when they come to the next round of negotiation, and contracts are now seeming to line up in preparation for another work stoppage, right? So if you're a player and, you know, is the league coming to you and basically saying, hey, we'll let you go to the Olympics, but you have to let the CBA run its course till 2022. Is that what it is?
From what my understanding is, yep.
So if I'm the players, I'm probably looking at that and going, like, I would imagine they're going to say, you know, the Olympics aren't worth giving up our negotiating options as of 2019-2020, right?
The interesting part that I'm seeing about this is that the players want to participate in the Olympics, but they also don't want work stoppage. So it would be interesting how this plays out.
I don't think if I'm a player, I'm going to take that deal. Like, you only get so many, you know, you only get so many options or opportunities to negotiate for your collective rights within a billion-dollar business. Like, I'm sure you love the Olympics and the opportunity to win a gold medal for your country, but you're gonna give up 3 years of a CBA that maybe they don't hate it, but I'm sure they're not in love with everything, and so you could step to the table 2 years earlier if you wanted to, and you're just gonna give that up? I can't see it.
I don't think so either. The players that really want to play in the Olympics will find a way. Like, look at Ovechkin. He's already said multiple times that he'll be there.
Does he just go?
He might pull a Kovalchuk. I don't really know. I don't know how he does, but he said that he will be there. So.
Okay. He said it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see what actually, is the owner of the Washington Capitals just going to be like, cool, like, I don't want anyone else going, but cool, Alex, you do your thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems, well, you know, we're only, what now, just 1.5 years away from the Olympics, so they're going to have to settle this soon. I mean, personally, it's fun, but I don't know. I'm kind of over it. Personally,
yeah, I'd like to see the amateurs play in the Olympics.
Like, I'm assuming that they wouldn't do this, but I almost feel like you could put some sort of cap on the age that you'd have players play over at the Olympics, and you know, maybe it's not World Juniors, like under 20, but you do it like under 23 or something. You know, you like college and university and junior go over, but. I don't know.
That'd make for some really entertaining hockey, though.
Well, yeah, right? And give somebody a chance that's, like, if you play hockey, you know, you have to be in the NHL and be a superstar to have a chance at this right
now. Yeah.
And that seems, like, completely contrary to what the Olympics are supposed to be.
That's exactly what it is. And now, it's not really popular. But the World Cup of Hockey was kind of designed to replace the Olympic participation, so.
Well, yeah, and then, what, you know, if you're on Team North America, you're like, you need to make up a whole new country if you're going to be able to keep that team for the Olympics.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about what they were saying on the news the other day? Apparently, there are talks of, like, having international games. And then there's also talks of having, like, Canada versus the world and, like, U.S. versus the world games. That's what they were saying on Hockey Night in Canada, I think, yesterday or the other day.
Are you talking about, like, as exhibition games, or are we talking about tournaments like the World Cup?
As exhibition games. The Canada versus the World Games, I don't know if that's supposed to be a tournament, but from what I've heard, they wanted to do international exhibition games in places like China and like all those other stuff.
Well, I mean, we used to have, when it was the Russians, right? The Russians would come over and play against teams from the NHL, and the NHL would put together, you know, they had rendezvous and all that stuff. Yeah. And, you know, there was intrigue to that, though, because you never saw those players. Like, again, the world in the 70s and 80s is so different from what it is today. Russia was this big mystery.
Yeah.
You know, you'd hear about these players and, you know, people would talk about Makarov and, who's the one that went to Vancouver and got fat? the KLM line. There's Larionov, Makarov, and, Krutov? Krutov? God, I'm going to kick myself for not getting that one right. I'm going to write in Krutov. I think I'm making up a word.
Krutov?
No, Vladimir Krutov. Yeah. He's the one that gone. Yeah, Vancouver Canucks. There we go. Yeah, and they were, yeah. you know, and before them, like Tretiak and Net, and you heard, like, these guys were these, you know, you heard rumors, for example, that I think it was Larionov was like the Wayne Gretzky of the USSR, but you didn't have the internet. You didn't have television that broadcast sports from around the world. You didn't know what these guys were until they came over and played your team. That was the mystique about it. Now these guys are all in the NHL.
Yeah.
And if the KHL ever produced, you know, a Sidney Crosby-like superstar, you would be able to see him on YouTube, or they would broadcast games, and it wouldn't be so mysterious anymore. So I don't, you know, I think that might be some of where the appeal has kind of disappeared to as well. I don't know. It's just me, maybe. All right, guys, ask the super fans. if you want to get your questions into us here at AIH Superfans is the handle on Twitter, use the hashtag AskTheSuperFans to ask us all your questions about Winnipeg Jets stuff. Only a few for this one. Anthony at @Fat_TonyBones asks, why is the Jets so mean to Arby? Of course, we're talking about our buddy Ryan, RB_18, also at Arctic Ice Hockey, who hasn't been on this podcast for a while, because I think at the start of the season he said he gives up on the team because they weren't putting the young guys in.
Brian, were you the one who tweeted that RB picked a bad time to abandon this team?
No, that was... I think that was John.
I mean, Arby has recently acknowledged that the young kids might make him eat his words. In fact, I think he did that after the Chicago game, too. So even Arby was swept up in excitement over the Jets. And did it in his own way, but... again... There's, we'd already talked about this a little bit, but Andy Rolfe at @PattyBearXYZ. The injured forwards are starting to make their way back. Who gets sent down? Let's say who, you know, we already talked about this earlier, but each of us, let's put out three players who should get sent down and three players who will get sent down. Brian.
You want to go first? Okay. Who should get sent down? It should be Howden. It should be DeLeo, because he, unless he comes in and blows away. And then Burmistrov. But who will get sent down? Patan, Dano, and Kopp. Because we're not allowed to be happy for too long.
Chris, what do you think?
Who should get sent down? I think it should be Howden. Burmistrov should get waived. And Thorburn, but we all know that won't happen. And then who will get sent down? I think it's going to be either one of Petan or Dano. I think Burmistrov will still get waived. And then, just to be realistic, Howden will still get sent down. I think DeLeo will get sent down too.
I have Burby, Howden, Thorburn should. I have Patan, Kopp, and Howden will. Though I am also reasonably confident, like I'd bet some of my own money that you'll see Burmistrov off this team before the end of the year, and I think Stafford will be off this team before the end of the year. And hopefully they won't wait till the trade deadline.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, again, you're not, I don't think at this point, you're not signing Stafford again at the end of the season, right?
I would hope not.
You know, so you got to get something for him. So,
yeah,
we'll see what happens there.
Brian and Alan, so do the Canucks go after Vander Kane or Drew Stafford?
I thought I read somewhere that the talks fell apart, or that might have been Buffalo and Minnesota.
Apparently, the Canucks were in talks with the Buffalo for Evander.
Stafford might be a good backup plan if they can't get Kane, but I don't know if either wind up happening, honestly.
I mean,
I've just taken to Stafford going to Vancouver as a pipe dream.
Yeah.
I see it as, I mean, if I'm a GM and I can manage to get myself beyond all the bullshit that happens off the ice, which you can't really do, but if you're actually going to look beyond that, I'd still say Kane should be your target.
Yeah.
You know,
he's still kind of good at hockey.
Yeah, and he's younger too, right?
Yeah.
So that would be where I would go. I mean, I'm not in love with either option, but if Vancouver wants them, go for it.
There was some news about him recently. I think he was talking trash about his teammates, which doesn't surprise me at all, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he said, if you score more than 2 goals against the Sabres, you're going to win.
I saw that, and he hasn't scored yet once this year.
No.
Can't even stay on the fucking team for more than 5 games.
Yeah.
I saw that too. Pass it to Burmy at Pity the Fool said, remember when the Jets finally got over the hump and were awesome? No, I don't. When was this?
That was when they won the Stanley Cup.
Oh, yeah?
In 2019.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, okay, so they haven't won a Stanley Cup. They haven't won a second round playoff game ever. This team hasn't won a playoff game ever. They haven't won the division ever. So what is it? I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah.
Maybe he's talking about the year they made the playoffs. I mean, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Wish they'd won a playoff game, but it was fun to get in.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah. Should they have kept Stempniak back then?
Oh, yeah.
I'm still on there. They should have kept Stempniak and Frolik.
Hashtag should have kept.
Yeah. I mean, Frolik, you know, the part for me about Frolik that bugs me is that they went with Stafford. And again, maybe Frolik wanted out of town. Who knows? But Stafford was the one that they chose.
From what I've been hearing, I think his wife wanted out of town. Wife or girlfriend. But I don't know. That's just rumors.
Yeah. Ryan Nother, again, we're back to this. Do you think it's possible for Patan and Dano to remain in the lineup once everyone is healthy? This year, probably not.
They should, but I doubt it.
Yeah. The year after, maybe.
If Patan doesn't have a spot on this team next year, then he probably will never have a spot on this team.
Yeah. But they've been liking his play so far. They're playing him on the power play.
Who, Patan?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's an offensive player, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of his thing. By the way, the power play...
I mean, that doesn't really matter, though, because Adam Lowry...
Yeah, but Adam Lowry isn't on the top power play anymore, right?
I think he played there yesterday.
He was there yesterday?
I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Okay. I know in some of the games that I've watched recently, he hasn't been. It's been, Ehlers, Scheifele, Wheeler. Bufflin, and who am I missing? Liney?
Yeah,
that's been the top power play that I've seen recently, which is good. Thumbs up. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
Put your top 5 freaking players out there and put them together and see what happens. And, I don't know, their power play isn't last. So that's a step up over, last year, right?
Yeah.
In fact, before
what
we go.
What do you guys think of the lines? Because they move Line A to the second line with Patan and Dano, and then Wheeler is back on the first line now.
I really want to see Laine, Scheifele, and Ehlers together. Like, yeah. I don't think should be separated ever again. That's such a good line. But it's right now with the six players that we have in the top six, it's kind of hard to make a bad line out of them because they're all really talented. So I'm not going to complain too much.
I just, you know, I understand that you're trying to mix a formula with so many young players still trying to figure out their place on this team, but isn't your top line or even your top two lines, shouldn't that be relatively settled at this point?
You would think, but, I mean, injuries, I'll...
Well, I guess so, but you had Scheifele, what was it, Scheifele, Ehlers, and Laine were great.
Yeah, that's what boggles me.
That is what should be set in stone.
Yeah, it's just funny how, I mean, Maurice isn't the only one. Lots of coaches monkey with these lines. So, I mean, I get it, but, you know, you got these, those are the three leading scorers in the league pretty much, right? Like, they're all in the top 15 right now.
Yeah.
So if you got some,
Ehlers got credit yesterday. They were mentioning him on Hockey Night in Canada. They were like, oh, you know, Nikolaj Ehlers, he's putting a lot of points and no one's talking about him.
Yeah, he is. And he's scoring goals on his own net even, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the sign of an elite scorer.
Yeah, exactly. All right, folks, we are running up to an hour. So before we bid everybody farewell for the week, any last thoughts on Jet stuff? Anywhere? Anyone?
They play today, so.
They play at 5:00 Eastern time against Carolina. I will be at Survivor Series, so I will miss it.
Oh, lucky you.
I was at NXT TakeOver yesterday here in Toronto. It was awesome.
And then Raw tomorrow.
Raw tomorrow. Yeah. I'm going to Raw tomorrow, too. I'm looking forward to that one the least.
Yeah.
Today's show's
apparently, have you heard what they were saying?
For Raw?
Apparently, today, they're setting up like a WrestleMania angle tonight.
With who?
No one's saying with who, but they're saying they're going to set up an angle that ends at WrestleMania.
Well, the rumors for Brock at WrestleMania are number one is Shane McMahon, and number two is The Rock. So let's hope it's The Rock.
Yeah. But then it's kind of be like the old days again.
Yeah,
it's like you're just recycling old feuds.
If it was up to me, it would be Samoa Joe, but I don't do the booking for them. So we'll see. We'll see what they do. I mean, I think that Brock beats Goldberg, and once he beats Goldberg, yeah, you have to have something.
Goldberg is too old.
Well, yeah, and Goldberg isn't. I mean, he said this. He may end up doing it because the money will be too good, but he said he's only doing this one time thing. And he's 50. He's turning 50, I think, in a month or two. So, yeah, he's not going to do this full time.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll talk about it. I'll tweet you from the show if something exciting happens.
Sure. Looking forward to it.
All right, folks. Then we'll leave it at that for this week. So, Chris from Hanger Hockey, thanks again for joining us today. Again, give us the handle.
It's @hanger_hockey.
Yeah, I did go to your website that's under construction.
It's terrible. It's terrible right now. We don't have time to work on it.
So give him a follow on Twitter instead if you want some Jets takes. Brian?
You can find me at Brian from AIH. I'm in the process of getting verified right now.
Are you?
I put in the application.
So you'll be the Brian? From AIH?
I will be.
I'm going to change my handle to Brian from AIH and steal it from you.
Do A1H?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Or lowercase L.
I am at Slip with 5 eyes or Slip. I am not verified on Twitter, but I am self-verified as the most hated Jets fan out there.
That is more important.
It is so. the title. So go
to anti-Jets Facebook.
Oh yeah, Jets Facebook. No thank you. Go to ArcticIceHockey.com for all your Winnipeg Jets news and notes. Follow them on Twitter at Arctic Ice Hockey. And, of course, follow us, AIH Superfans. And I think that's it. So we will see you all probably in a week. Thanks.